The offering announcement is not my favourite assignment. I've done everything to wriggle out of these, but I've been caught well and truly, so I hope that what I have to say is appropriate, honours God, and encourages some of us. We are celebrating today, as we've already been told, the Holy Convocation. I've eaten so well, my glasses are steaming up. That is disgusting, isn't it? I apologise, everyone. So at least you're going to have to see me out there. It's these poor people in front of me that can see the glow. This picture is the second coming of Jesus Christ, this most exciting of times. Those of us who are overcomers and continue to be overcomers and are living at that time will then be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and rise in the air to meet Christ at his coming back to earth. His feet are going to stand that day on the Mount of Olives, and where he is, we are going to be also, if we achieve the goal to which we've been called. That scripture has already been referred to, but I think we can read it in 1 Corinthians 15. It's such an exciting time. The repetition will not be wasted on us. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 52. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. As that delightful meal is shown, I am very much at this time flesh and blood. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I thought that applied to me much more over 30 years ago than it does now. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We shall, at that time, be born again, contrary to liberal propaganda. It is then that people will be born again. This dramatic change will alter the balance of every congregation. We will no longer be men or women. We will be like the angels in heaven. The special music is being sung today by ladies, and as I was reminded by Mrs. Duke, that is her only opportunity to be heard during a service. But the first fruits will not be men or women. We are all striving to overcome, to achieve the same goal. The world is offended by the writings of the Bible, including Paul, because they think he is anti-woman. God is not against women. He's against all sinners, men and women, but he still loves them, and he still wants the best for them. The ladies have a special role, our helpmeet, our suitable assistant. We are incomplete, gentlemen, without the help of the ladies. The ladies are not second class. They came after us. I beg your pardon. The first woman came after the first man, but every one of us came from a woman. We all are here as the result of the labour of ladies. What's this got to do with Holy Day offerings? Three times or seasons in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. But God's work has always been ably assisted by the efforts of the ladies. I don't want anyone to be relaxed. I really don't want to be a soothsayer. I don't want to say comforting words. I daren't tell you that what you've done is sufficient. More work is required of all of us, but I do want to take these few moments to remind ourselves that the ladies throughout history have made a huge contribution to the work of God. God has not treated them as second class. Even though throughout history men have tried to use unfair leverage in many instances, although if you read history closely enough you see that the women managed to give fairly good account of themselves, both under the inspiration of Satan and doing things against the way God intended it to be done, we are all striving to be part of the bride of Christ. Men and women are all seeking to be prepared to fill what is nominally a female role. That is why the comments this morning about the perversion of this world are so appropriate. It besmirches the very relationship that we are looking forward to with God. Women are so important. The work in the wilderness, the ladies gave for the preparation of the tabernacle. Enormous amount of the physical effort in preparation of materials was done by the ladies. Elijah was sent to a woman who God had separated to look after him and who fed him for several months. We have the example of the poor widow that Christ observed. All those men with their trumpets announcing the incredible offerings in monetary value that they were putting in, but not incredible in Christ's eyes. The attitude of that widow surpassed all of those prosperous men who didn't give to God, they gave to their own vanity. What we give today, we do quietly, discreetly, not showing off, not cheating people so we can give a larger offering to impress others. God knows the hearts. The ladies are often taken for granted. But if you remember many of the scriptures about the role of leadership, it is them who serve the most. We look at a scripture which I really was what brought to mind the purpose for this sermonette is in Luke. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Luke 8, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance, from their possessions. Jesus Christ was not too proud to fulfill his ministry with the financial assistance of women. And this at a time when the tithes and the offerings were paid to the Levites, most of whom opposed Christ's work. This is how crucial the contributions of the ladies were at that time. Tithes and offerings were not paid to Christ. That came much later, after the writing of Hebrews, explaining the change back to paying to Melchizedek, after the fashion of Melchizedek, paying again to Jesus Christ. We no longer seek out through DNA who are the Levites and pay the tithe to them. We pay to the ministry who are doing the work of Jesus Christ after the fashion of Melchizedek. We are all, men and women, part of the body of Christ, his church. Some of us have more conspicuous role, but much of the work that is crucially important is done quietly behind the scenes. The training of the children, holding together the household, the management of household finances underneath the guidelines and the overall authority of the man. And of course, many of our ladies in this mixed up world are heads of household themselves. My eldest daughter is a single parent. She has to manage the resources. She's not a member of the church, but she has to manage the role of leader of the household as well as being a mother. Ladies balance many more jobs than we poor, frail men are able to do. We might be physically stronger to a degree, but we're not so good at multitask. My wife didn't actually write this, but it does sound like it. There will be no discrimination between male and female at the resurrection. Jesus Christ will apportion responsibilities not according to gender, because we will all, those who overcome, be like the angels. The role of leadership in many instances will go to ladies, former ladies, who by their experience, by this service, have overcome and achieved the most in God's eyes. We'll now take up the offering, and again, nothing offered by a lady will be refused, and certainly not the offering music, in which we are relying on the duet. Psalm 5, Give Ear Unto My Words, sung by Mrs. Sylvia Duke and Mrs. Paula Henderson, and accompanied by our minister, Mr. John Bowles.